Elizabeth Dennehy, you walked into my life one day. You walked in the room, and I didn't recognize you from your work on soap operas. I didn't recognize you from any of your acclaimed stage work. I didn't recognize you as being one of the creators of Tony and Tina's Wedding. No, I recognized you as Lieutenant Commander Shelby from The Best of Both Worlds, Parts 1 and 2 from Star Trek The Next Generation. So, guys, my question for you is, how pathetic is that?
Even without the skin-tight spandex jumpsuit, it's pretty impressive.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 295, Star Trek Conventions. The Olympics and our run of the complete world of sports abridged at the Arts Theatre aren't the only things happening here in London this summer. Earlier this month, the annual London Film and Comic Con was held in Earl's Court, featuring actors from and creators of just about every sci-fi fantasy franchise from all the known universes. Elizabeth Dennehy, who played a small but significant character in the Star Trek universe, was in Earl's Court a few weeks ago, and I spoke to her about what it's like attending a Star Trek convention and about some of her most interesting interactions with fans.
I went to see the Ramones play at the Palace, and standing in front of me was this giant guy with a huge Megadeth jacket on in front of me, and he kept turning around and look at me, and I was like, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm just trying to see around you. Right. Finally, he turned around and he screamed at the top of his lungs, "Were you on the guiding light?" This guy in the Megadeth jacket. And I said, yes. And I don't even want to think about why he was watching The Guiding Light. Probably in prison.
You know what? A fan's a fan.
Exactly. I take it wherever I can get it. So happy to be recognized all the time. Usually I get, you look just like Glenn Close. So when I'm recognized for my work, it always feels really nice.
Well, and why is some enterprising producer has never cast you and Glenn Close as sisters? I do not understand.
I don't understand it either. Yeah. I think they must. It's they should. It should
opportunity. Happen. Missed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So before we start talking about the conventions, talk to us about playing Lieutenant Commander Shelby, because if you don't know, Best of Both Worlds is sort of a pivotal two episodes in Star Trek The Next Generation. It's not the first time we saw the Borg.
It was the first time they did a cliffhanger. It was the first time they ever did a cliffhanger and a two-parter. Mm-hmm. And what's really funny about that whole incident is that I never watched the original. I never was into sci-fi. I didn't have a clue. It was a job. I went in and auditioned. I had no idea who Riker was. I had no idea who anybody was. I was 28, new into Hollywood, and I was like, okay, it's a job. And when I showed up, one of the first things Jonathan Frakes said to me is, "You don't have any idea what all this means, do you?" And I said, "I don't have a clue." He said, "You are not going to be able to walk around. You're going to be recognized everywhere." And I was like, "Get out of here." And he said, "And you're going to be asked to do conventions." And I said, "You're high. That's crazy." That's crazy. And here it's been 20 years, and I've got two this summer. And one of the things I advise when people are starting out in the business, can you give me any advice? I say, get on something sci-fi, because it's the gift that keeps on giving, and it's wonderful to be with people who care so much. I love going to conventions.
Well, yeah, and my gravy train has not rolled in, because I did 3 of the 9 episodes of Mr. Sterling, Josh Brolin Goes to Washington, and they're not doing Mr. Sterling cons.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's a shame. They don't do Western conventions either.
Right.
For some reason, sci-fi, and it's not just about Next Generation. Anything you do, like the fans come up and they remember me from Gattaca or Quantum Leap or Charmed, and I'm like, holy cow, I have done a lot of fantastical sci-fi stuff that I didn't even realize.
Right.
You know, but they love all of it.
What was it? There wasn't a cool factor for you, like, oh my God, I finally got on Star Trek. But now but you're there, and wasn't there? Did you know that you were going to come back in the second episode? Were you?
Yes, I was hired for 2 episodes, but I didn't get the second script until literally days before. They were so secretive. So I had no idea if I was going to be brought on board. I had no idea what was going to happen until like days before, because of secrecy.
And can you talk about the fact that there were some of the actors' contracts were up.
Well, and there I am not positive that that's what I was being used for. Uh-huh. But when you watch the show, it definitely seems that way, that they were using my character as, if you don't sign, we'll just, you know, move on and get somebody
else. We'll get Shelby.
But I don't know that for a fact.
Shelby will be the new number one.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You're not indispensable. Yeah. That was the part I had.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
It does seem that way.
Now, so you play this pivotal role on a pivotal episode where Picard gets assimilated and becomes Locutus of Borg. See, I know this stuff.
Oh, how? God, yeah, you know more than I do.
And, so you go to these conventions now. Did you? I talked to Scott Bakula.
Yes.
And I got the sense that he resisted going to the conventions for a while. Now, he played a captain. You were just a guest star in two episodes.
Yes.
Did you resist?
I did not. I thought, wow, you know, they're paying me and flying me first class. I'll fly anywhere first class.
And do anything.
I'll do anything for first class. My first one was in St. Louis, Missouri, and I was with George Takei. Mm. A lovelier man does not exist. He's such a dream. And I was so nervous. I was terrified. And I'll tell you why I was nervous. Because I felt like an imposter, because I wasn't in the sci-fi world and I'd never seen an episode of the first show. Yeah. I really thought people were going to feel that I didn't deserve.
Right, they don't want to see you. They want to see Shatner and anybody else.
Well, then that I should have been a fan, an ardent, you know, up on the lingo and knowing the world, and to go in there and just be playing a part, just cashing a paycheck, which is really what I was just doing. Mm-hmm. I felt like an imposter, and that I thought they were going to tear me apart. And people could not have been lovelier. They were really, really lovely.
Well, and one thing that Dee and I bonded over in our early courtship was that our fandom of Star Trek and how we're nerds that way. But we always considered it a point of pride that we had never been to a convention. In fact, we've never been to one of these conventions.
When you go to the conventions, people fall into two camps. Mm-hmm. There are the people who belong to groups. They have a captain and they have a steward and they wear the uniforms.
And they're on a ship.
They are Starfleet, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Company members.
Uh-huh.
And then there are the people who are just fans, who know that you're an actor playing a job, and it seems to be split down the middle.
Yeah.
And at first, I thought it was a little bit strange, and yet I thought, you know what? They're not shooting up heroin. They are. This is a healthy hobby to have, and you know, it's a social group. It's a socializing thing.
If I had a religion, this would be the closest one to the one I would have. IDIC, right?
And
infinite diversity, and infinite combinations.
What I find very, very moving is a lot of the people who come to these conventions are disabled people and handicapped people, and it's a group effort for them that they are bonding, gets them out of the house, and they're going to a party weekend, staying at a hotel.
With their friends.
Yeah. They're having a great, great time. Yeah. And, you know, what else goes on like that for
people? It's like Renfair geeks. It's like,
Exactly. Dungeons and Dragons, this is their thing.
Right.
And, you know, they're happy. They're happy people. And then you have people who, you know, that are so grateful that you took the time out of your busy day. The one thing that's really, really funny is living in LA, you're used to people, you know, not recognizing you. There's famous people everywhere. You can't go to the Grove without seeing somebody recognizable. And so nobody, you know, I'm not going to stop traffic. People aren't going to be running paparazzi after me. But when you go to a convention, you step through a portal into a world where I am Julia Roberts.
Right.
I have seen people get on an elevator. We all stay in the same hotels, unless you're Patrick Stewart or William Shatner. They get on the elevator, not expecting to see you.
Yeah.
I'm going to my room. And they literally, like, fall completely apart. Like, I could be Lady Gaga. It's hilarious to me. And I think everybody needs to be that big, huge star in their life. I feel sorry for people who never get that experience where people, their knees are literally knocking together. They can't believe they're in the elevator with you. And it's really, really fun. I love them. And you know, there's never been any situation where there was one situation that was a little off-putting. I did a convention I have no idea where it was. It was somewhere in middle America. I want to say Kansas City. I think Kansas City. And we were at a hotel. And you know who was in it? Dee Wallace Stone from E.T.
Okay.
So I was really starstruck. I loved her. So, so nice. And we did a lot of stuff. We did Klingon karaoke. We did a lot of activities with the fans.
Right.
And there was one guy, you were talking about it being their religion.
Yeah.
And he got up and read this poem that he wrote about Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And like Avery Brooks was God, and all of the characters, how they were his religious leaders. Uh-huh. And that was when, that was the only moment where I was like, if I snuck out of here and got a cab to the airport, would any, how fast could I move? That was the only time where I was like, this has crossed a line.
Right.
To another place where I was like, whoa.
Hello, my name is Will Wheaton. I know, I can't believe it either. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? We have 4 weeks left of our West End London 2012 Olympics run of the Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Arts Theater. We run here until August 25th, then head home to start touring the special election edition of the Complete History of America Abridged and the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged this fall of 2012. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com. And click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
I'm lucky that in my gig I make people laugh. I mean, that's just my job.
Right.
You know, but you're lucky that you got a job on a show that means so much to these people. It's like you are a guest in their lives now.
I went to a convention in Las Vegas and we took the kids. This was about 2 or 3 years ago. I have two boys. They're now almost 15, almost 13. So they must have been about, 10 and 8 maybe then. And there was a lot of, the boys got to bed in the hotel room and they had tears in their eyes. They said, you better be nice to those people. It was very moving for them to see how much this meant to these people.
Yeah.
My boys were like, these people, Mom, they so love you so much. It means everything to you, to them, if you just smile at them. You've got to be nice. And I said, I am. And look at it this way. They're having a great time. This is a great weekend away for them. And I see it. It's all good.
Do you get to hang out with the actors you worked with, Jonathan Frakes?
Yeah. It's especially the one in Las Vegas. The Creation Convention is huge. Brent Spiner's there. Armin Shimmerman, and you see the same people all the time, and it's like old home week. And we do get to hang out a bit, and it's really, really fun. And Colin Meaney's one of our oldest and dearest friends. He'll be there as well. And
You knew him before?
My husband has known him since they were teenagers.
Right.
They back in Ireland. Yeah, they grew up together, and they've known each other a really long time. So
it's I remember telling you tell young actors who are just getting out of college and they're very, very serious, and they can't. We were doing, children's theater, right? And they're doing adaptations of fairy tales. And this is just beneath me. I just have to pretend. I was like, if you get lucky enough to work on a show or a movie that requires a lot of green screen acting and you're pretending to do a lot of stuff, that's, what do you think Patrick Stewart's doing?
Yeah.
He's doing children's theater on screen. And it's just so great that the Star Trek always casts so many actors with extensive stage chops and credits.
Well, my God, to learn that dialogue,
and make sense of it.
You have to really, really know what you're talking about. That was one thing that was really interesting about Star Trek, is when I had lines that I, like, for instance, I will never forget this line. It's going to be engraved on my tombstone. Separate the saucer section. Assign a skeleton crew to create a diversion. It makes absolute sense.
Yes.
It was easy to memorize because when you really think about it, it makes absolute sense. Charmed, on the other hand, I remember I was supposed to be this omniscient, elder, the one who beams down and knows all the answers. And my whole part, people kept saying to me, well, what's going on? And I was saying, we don't know. We don't know. And I said, how come I'm supposed to be all-knowing and all-powerful, and I don't know the answers to these questions? And somebody said, don't ask questions like that. But see, on Star Trek, there was an answer to every question. Right. They really knew what they were talking about. Right. It was all thought out. The Enterprise could actually probably function, really function. And there's no holes in those plots, in those plot lines or the characters, whereas a lot of the other stuff, it's just, you know, slapping something together.
Although when Geordi and Ensign Roe are running through the walls because they're out of phase. Somehow they're not falling through the floor. You know, that's one of those things. It's best not to ask. I guess the casting director too would want to make sure that, you know, you don't have a side sibilance. You know, separate the saucer section and assemble a skeleton crew.
Absolutely.
Stat.
Yeah, that would be a deal breaker for sure. And look at what Brent Spiner had to do.
Oh, my
Lord. And you know, no cue cards, no teleprompters, nothing. No. It has to be memorized. And if it makes sense, it's so much easier to memorize.
Well, and those guys, you know, had to learn, you know, tomorrow's dialogue today, and then forget it because they have to the next day's dialogue.
Yeah, for months and months and months and months and months. It's really brain-breaking work. I was exhausted every single day.
But it must have been a nice change for you as an actress because, particularly now that we've both gotten to an age where we tend to play parents, and most of them are grieving and crying.
Crying mothers, yeah. Nobody's going to be paying me to be in a jumpsuit now.
Hey. Listen, I've told you this, I'll tell you again. I'll pay you money to be in that jumpsuit.
No, you would not. You would regret it. Trust me, you would regret those words. But yeah, it back in the day when I was 28, you know, just to be able to, you know, boss people around and, you know, not have to cry and grieve, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun being a ball buster. I loved playing that role. And it's so funny when I go to the conventions because people will raise their hand and say, "You were such a bitch." And I was like, "I was not a bitch. I was right. I was absolutely right about everything." It's fun to play one of those controversial roles that people really were divided about. And also when you're filming the first episode and you have no idea what's going to happen in the second episode, you kind of have to play a little bit of everything. Yeah. Jonathan said to me, "You know, we need to play a little bit of heat here because who knows what's going to happen in the second episode." And I was like, "Oh yeah, right. You say that to all the guest stars." But we had no idea what was going to happen in the second episode. So you have to kind of play that anything is possible, which was fun.
Well, and that's why he went on to directing as well. I mean, as an actor, he was aware of that enough.
Exactly. You have to be aware of, you know, because in the second episode, if we're playing that we fall madly in love with each other, wow, that didn't make any sense with what we did in the first act. You just have to play that anything is possible, which is fun, kind of fun. I had to play that I was a villain. What if I was an imposter? What if I was a Borg dressed up as Shelby?
Right.
You know, I had to play, what if that was going to happen, you know? That could have been possible has to be factored in.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was fun. Playing a ballbuster is a lot of fun. A lot easier than being a grieving mother.
How similar is this to the movie Galaxy Quest? You know, which satirized so lovingly these conventions. Or do you even know the movie?
I love Galaxy Quest, and it is they obviously had done a lot of their homework. It was really, I remember when I went to my first convention, and George Takei and I were sitting next to each other at the table signing pictures, and a man came up in a Starfleet Academy uniform with a stack of about 60 VHS tapes, every single movie that George Takei had ever been in Japan.
Oh my God.
And had George sign every single one of them. These people mean business. They are really, really serious. So yes, Galaxy Quest, and I love the way it's so lovingly done.
Yes.
You know, that we are grateful that these people still care and that they really show up. I don't think anybody that I've ever done a convention with feels the way Shatner did with his Get a Life. I mean, we are so grateful. You just look out and you're singing karaoke Klingon with, you know, people, and we're singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And it's a blast. It's a blast. We have a really, really fun time. The fact that people still care, how could you not be moved by that?
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your wackiest fan encounter via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always
always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Romulan ambassador Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Beth Kinzinger. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ensign Crusher himself, Will Wheaton, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 295/885 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Elizabeth Dennehy, thank you so much for talking to us on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, and thank you for putting on some makeup.
I can't speak to my public without makeup on. I don't care if you can't see me or not. It's all a performance.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.